The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Means that the number one pick in the 2021 NBA draft goes to the Detroit Pistons.
Who's got the number one pick in this year's draft? Who's got the number one pick in this year's draft?
Basketball!
Select Isaiah Stewart.
The Detroit Pistons select Killian Hayes.
Sadiq, that was absolutely sensational.
I don't know what went into that process. I met the criteria to be selected, but I wasn't.
From long range.
Detroit Basketball!
What's going on, Pistons fans? Welcome back to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, brought to you by Believe. Aaron Johnson and Jasper Apollonia here with you this week. And Jasper, a lot going on with Summer League for the Detroit Pistons. We're going to get into all of that and more. But first off, my friend, how are you?
I'm doing great. Buddy Boeheim scored 18 points last night. I'm thrilled. Go Orange. I'm doing just fine. How are you doing on this beautiful Wednesday? Well, I should say from my perspective, it's a beautiful Wednesday. I'm out here in New York. You are not. So I can't really count on your weather, but how are you doing today, Aaron?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I mean, the weather over here, probably not like New York. It's been raining throughout the day in spots. Throughout, but I'm good. The rain's not going to stop us from bringing you guys the weekly show. We've got a lot to get into. Let's first start off with just some news. We're not really going to delve too much into this, but just some different stuff that we wanted to bring up this week. The Pistons trade with the Knicks to acquire Alec Burks and Nerlens Noel is officially official. The Pistons acquiring Burks and Noel essentially for a fake draft pick and the rights to a prospect that I don't think anyone knew the Pistons had draft rights to.
No, I straight up had no idea. I was like, wait, when did they take this guy? I thought he was maybe like a guy they signed last year. I had zero clue at all. Totally fake pick. Isn't it top 56 protected, Aaron?
I think it's top 55 protected. So it have to be 56 through 60 to convert to them. And I think it's in 2025, if I'm correct. So that deal is official. Second topic of business, probably the most important one, is that Jaden Ivey suffered a right ankle injury in Detroit's second game of Summer League in their win against the Wizards. He did not play in Tuesday's loss to the Indiana Pacers. His status for Thursday, the rest of Summer League, uncertain. I would consider him doubtful to play again in Summer League, but the Pistons haven't ruled him out entirely. Saben Lee, another player that went down with an injury against the Wizards, he was seen in a walking boot at Tuesday's game, so it looked like a right ankle, right foot injury for him as well. And then Detroit renounced the rights to free agent Carson Edwards. Not a shock there, just a little bit of housekeeping from Detroit on that. And not sure if there was any reason why they didn't do it earlier. Not sure if there were any cap maneuvering or whatever reasoning there was behind that. Nothing ever came out as to why they decided to wait this long to renounce the rights to Edwards. But that is your Pistons news. Some of that stuff that I mentioned, we might get into a little bit more detail later on. But before we get into our first topic, let's talk about our wonderful sponsors that we have every week here on the Palace of Pistons podcast, Bet Online. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including NBA Summer League, Major League Baseball, the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. Head to the website or your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. And Jasper, let's not wait any further. Let's talk about some more summer league stuff with the Detroit Pistons. I know I mentioned on the front side of our ad read that the Pistons have a couple injuries related to summer league, but some of the other guys that have stood out in summer league that are healthy and are playing, or at least did play the first two games, were Isaiah Livers and Isaiah Stewart. Jalen Duren has played in all three. I think we should need to talk about all of them. Let's first start off with Jalen Duren. So far in summer league, through out Detroit's first three games, he's averaged just over 11 points, three rebounds, a pair of assists, and a block in 20 minutes per game. I know this was a guy that, you know, when he was drafted, there was a talk of he's going to be a little bit of a project. He's still rather raw. He's probably not a guy that's going to play for you right away. He's just 18. He's not going to be 19 until, you know, you're a month into the season, regular season, that is. So this is a very young player, but he's shown a lot of flashes in summer league. And outside of Jaden Ivey, I think has stood out the most. And maybe that's because he's, you know, just a new fresh name, a new fresh body that, you know, we really haven't seen play for the Pistons before. Not to take away from some of the other guys that we're going to talk about, but he has really stood out and he's done some things that I believe have people feeling like this is a guy that isn't going to sit in the G League like there's been the speculation of he's going to start the season, you know, probably not playing a lot, playing minutes in the G League, starting with the Crews. I am gathering that that's not going to be the case. He's looking pretty good in summer league, even if he doesn't start for the Pistons at the beginning of the season, which I would bet against heavily. I still think this is a guy that might merit some minutes, even in the first couple months of the year as he gets his feet wet.
You know, Aaron, I don't think you're necessarily wrong when you say that he's shown that he probably should get some playing time in the early time of the season, even when he's coming along slowly, even with the Pistons' loaded center rotation at the time. But, you know, something that we talk about on this podcast all the time, at least I try to all the time, is perspective and context. And I think with Jalen Duren, you have to have both those things when it comes to his play. Because, yes, you're right, he has looked good in a lot of facets of the game, but there's other things that he struggled at that I think are really going to stand out more when you get into the regular season. Yeah, the scoring has been great. The passing has been what we wanted. The blocks have been really exciting to see. But that 3.3 rebounds per game, I think that's a number that you really need to examine. And I think, at least in the early part of this season, it's maybe a little cause for worry. I don't think he's a very good rebounder. And it's funny because I've actually compared him on Twitter to somebody like a young Andre Drummond, who came in and kind of forced his way into rotation that people didn't really think he was going to be a part of at the beginning of that season. The difference is Drummond came in automatically rebounding, just gobbling up everything in sight. And with Duren, I have not really seen that. And it's not just a lack of opportunity. It's not necessarily even a lack of not being in the right places. For example, somebody like Jeremy Grant, whose rebounding numbers went down with the Pistons because he shifted to more of a perimeter play style than he was with the Nuggets or the Thunder. With Duren, he's getting boxed out by his own guys. You saw it in the second game. There was even a couple times on defensive rebounds where Isaiah Stewart, with worse positioning than Jalen Duren, would get the rebound over Jalen Duren. And when I look at something like that, that to me shows me that he is still really raw. There's still a lot of parts of his game that are going to need refining before he's able to step into the rotation of an NBA team and give you what you need, even from a young big man. If you're a young big, you're coming in a backup position, third center off the bench. You need to give tremendous energy. You need to give tremendous effort. And basically, if you're somebody like Jalen Duren, you need to hit lobs and you need to grab rebounds. And for me, I see he can do the lobs. I think he can pass. I think he can rim protect a little bit. But I am worried about his board work at the moment. And I do think it's something they're going to need to refine before he's going to step into legitimate playing time. Is he too good for the G League? Probably. I think he's still a little too good for that. I think he should be with the main roster. I think he should be practicing with the Pistons. But I do need to see some refinement, especially in that rebounding game, before I'm willing to say, hey, Jalen Duren's ahead of Nerlens Noel or even Kelly Olynyk in this big man rotation.
Yeah, I think that's the problem, because if Detroit maybe didn't have as compact of a center big man room as they did, it would be a lot easier to find minutes for Jalen Duren, even at the beginning of the season, when he really is going to need some polishing and there's going to be more mistakes than there are good things that happen. And, you know, with Isaiah Stewart, with Marvin Bagley, with Nerlens Noel, with Kelly Olynyk, you know, whoever's playing at the four, if you get some other smaller guys like Sadiq Bey or Isaiah Livers in the mix there as well, like, it just is going to be very, very difficult to say, look, Nerlens Noel, it's October 23rd, game two, game three of the year. We're going to play Jalen Duren, who's 18 years old, over someone like you, who's been in the league for, you know, whatever it is, 7, 8, 9 seasons and has a status in this league. I think this is a situation where, almost like Luka Garza to start last year, he's probably bouncing back and forth, where he's not really playing a ton for the Pistons, is going down to the G League for a game, coming back up, at least at the beginning of the year. I think that that's maybe a bit more realistic. Keep him up with the big club in case you need him, in case you have an opportunity to get him some minutes. But if, you know, it's a situation where the Pistons are at home and the Crews are at home and the Crews are playing on Saturday and Detroit's playing on Sunday, you know, they could afford to send Duren down on Saturday so he can get those game reps and then come right back up with the main roster, so that if there is an opportunity or they do feel he's progressing enough or showing enough in extended minutes with the Crews, that, you know, maybe he does earn, you know, 10, 12, 14 minutes a night with the big club. But I think the volume of bigs that Detroit has on the roster is certainly not helping his case, even with the Pistons likely being a team that isn't going to be a playoff or a play-in team. I think even with that, they just have too many bodies right now that deserve minutes over him, to be quite frank, even with what he's shown in Summer League. And it's obviously, you know, as everyone knows, it's a different game in Summer League than it is in the regular season. You're not playing 6, 8, 10-year NBA veterans. You're playing undrafted, international, overseas players, rookies, second-year players that don't have the talent level, the experience that these guys in the NBA do on a nightly basis. So that's a factor as well. I think you make a good point about the rebounding. That's something that I had seen pointed out, and it has certainly stood out. But on the flip side, he has shown some nice things. I mean, his play finishing ability is certainly something that's really intriguing. I think his ability to protect the rim is intriguing. But, you know, I think the Pistons might struggle with figuring out how to balance their management of Jalen Duren, especially at the beginning of the year, because I think he's kind of in the same boat as you mentioned, maybe just a little bit too good for the G League, but probably not good enough right away to earn minutes in that Detroit Pistons big man room.
Aaron, I'll say this too. And I see people talking about him, oh, going to the G League in order to refine his skills, but we've seen it with Saben Lee. Yeah, the G League is a good way for raw players to grow into their skill sets. I don't necessarily know that if you're at a certain level of player that it actually does help you always. Because like I just said, with Saben Lee, that's a player that's kind of in that same boat. Too good for G League, but not good enough for the big team. And with Jalen Duren, I kind of worry that he'd fall into a Saban Lee kind of deal where instead of actually progressing in his game, he's just kind of going to dominate lesser players and not necessarily refine his skill set to the way that he needs to in order to make that next step as a player into a NBA rotation. I think that there's a way that you could stagger minutes and bring him along slowly where you can also have those vets kind of teach him the things he needs, especially when we're talking about rebounding. Rebounding is feel and technique. Like, it's one of those things you talk about, like Dennis Rodman. That's a guy who just, he got it on an instinctual level. And I think in order for Jalen Duren to hone those instincts, he's going to have to play with other players that already know how to rebound, that have those instincts, that know how to use their bodies and use their positioning in the proper way. So I could see it. Look, if they're really set at trying Isaiah Stewart at power forward, I think that's a great opportunity to play the two of them together in a way that they can work off of each other, because you can use Stewart's rebounding, even at the power forward, to make up for Duren's lack of rebounding at a certain level, and also hopefully bring him along slowly. Kelly Olynyk could also help with that too. So I don't think that it necessarily has to be like a, oh, he's either languishing on the bench or he's in the G League. I think you can play him 8 minutes a night on average, something like that, with a more experienced vet that knows what to do, and bring him along that way to where he's also getting the reps and he can also contribute in the ways that we see he's NBA ready, while bringing him along slowly in the places that he's not refined.
I don't think that that's a bad idea. I think it gets a little bit complicated, you know, trying to manage minutes as well as manage egos. You know, the Pistons committed big money to Marvin Bagley. They are committing big money to Kelly Olynyk. And then obviously Nerlens Noel is a veteran in this league. Isaiah Stewart, not that he has an ego or anything, but you know, he has tenure in this league. He has experience. It's just going to be trying to balance, you know, how do we get him minutes without taking away from some of these guys that are better play, are a better player than him right now. But I like the idea of playing him alongside a guy like Stewart who can, you know, kind of cover up maybe for some of Duren's lack of skills. Maybe that's not the best way to put it, but I think you know what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. But I do think there is merit to the G League. I think Saban Lee is an interesting case, especially in the G League when it's with guards, because you know, if you're faster than the other team's guard, like it's just going to be easier for you to score. If you can run a pick and roll as a guard in the G League, it's just going to be easier for you to score. You know, the way defenses play in the G League, you know, no matter what a coach tells you at that level, it's not at the same level. It's certainly not at the same intensity that it is in the NBA. That's why we see such inflated stats in the G League. That's why a guy like Lee can, you know, average almost 30 points a game down in the G League. I think when you look at, you know, it's about, are they doing things? Are they learning things the right way in the G League? And I think the Crews, from being around them last year, did a really good job of that with pretty much everyone on their roster outside of Lee and Luka Garza, because those two would seemingly come down and go up together. And when those two were down together, every game, the offense essentially came down to Saban Lee, Luka Garza, pick and roll, pick and pop. There's obviously a lot more to the game to that. There's a lot more development. There's a lot more offense that goes into that, and being able to break a defense down at the G League level by just running a simple pick and roll, pick and pop. It's hurting. It hurts a player's long-term development for their future in the NBA. I think if they take, you know, a different approach with Duren and they don't just try to maximize what he does best at, you know, right now to maximize his ability to help the Crews win games. Like the Pistons did a nice job with Isaiah Livers. They were doing a nice job with Chris Smith, the Pistons other two-way player from last season when he was down with the team. And there were even some other guys that just throughout the year from watching the G League group, you know, you could see the developments in their game. So I think there's merit to the G League. I think at least at the beginning of the season, if I were the decision maker, I would be trying to mix in kind of like what I was saying earlier. If the Pistons are playing on Saturday and our home, you know, on, or if the Crews are playing on Saturday at home, Pistons Sunday at home, I would say, Jalen, go play, you know, 20, 25 minutes with the Crews. And then if you can come up on Sunday and we can get you 8-10 minutes, I think that's probably the best way to handle it. I think there's, you know, probably a happy medium there. I don't want to stick too much more on Dern. I do want to move on since we got a lot of different stuff to talk about. Let's talk about Isaiah Livers a little bit. 42% from the three-point line in summer league. But it's not really the scoring stats themselves that have stuck out. I think the way he's scoring, we've seen him be more of a cutter. We saw a nice possession against Washington where, you know, he was on the baseline, back down his guy, hit our turnaround jumper and was fouled. We're seeing some more out of him, some more versatility out of him scoring the ball, more like what he looked like at Michigan when he was healthy in his junior and then the beginning of his senior season. And then the defense, like he is the Pistons summer league defensive connector out there. I think he has, I know some people are calling him like the Marcus Smart of the Pistons or the future Marcus Smart of the Pistons. I don't want to go that far, but what he's doing for them defensively, the way that you can see him talking, the way you can see him leading that team out there, he's not just going to be a depth piece for this team. And I know you talked about this for a couple weeks in a row now. Isaiah Livers might be good enough to be the starting power forward on this Detroit Pistons team next year.
Yep. I think this, and his summer league play has only convinced me of it even more. And exactly for the reasons you just hit on, not necessarily because of his offense, because of his defense. He has been fantastic in summer league play. This is, you see the difference between like NBA players and guys who are trying to be NBA players with somebody like Isaiah Livers. That's an NBA player. The way he reads the game defensively, the way he switches, the way that he knows where his, not even his man, where the guy who's just coming off of the screen, where he's going to go, Isaiah Livers is able to leave his man so that the other guy can come up and take him, switch over to the other side of the court and defend against the open three-pointer that would have been there if he didn't know what to do. I think absolutely, Aaron, he's got to be in that conversation for the starting power forward right now. For me, he's the guy that I think works best with how I view the game philosophically, especially from what you want from your starters. And I think that for those reasons, those defensive reasons primarily, that's why I'd have him as my starting four, because I don't think that you can have that kind of defensive ability if you're starting something like Isaiah Stewart and Marvin Bagley or Isaiah Stewart and Nerlens Noel, whatever it may be. I think that ability to switch onto the perimeter, to defend the perimeter and also give you enough of a body in the post, enough strength in the post. You're totally right. He's not Marcus Smart. He's not an in-your-face on-ball defender like that. He's in many ways more crucial in the way that I saw Rob Williams and Al Horford's defensive abilities being more crucial to that Boston defense than Marcus Smart's. He's the guy that connects it all. He's the guy that takes away the play that's going to happen after the pass. And Aaron, I don't know if you're starting to come around on it like I am, but from what I've seen in summer league play, this is a guy that I would be very, very, very comfortable giving big time backup minutes to, and absolutely is the guy I'm thinking should probably start the season at the four spot.
I am not in disagreement with you. I think part of that is a byproduct of not having enough forward depth on the roster, enough forward talent on the roster. But in the same sense that we kind of share some of the philosophical ideology of how we want to maximize lineups, I want shooting on the floor. I want spacing on the floor. I want switchability on the floor. Yes, in this case, the Pistons probably lose some athleticism if they're playing Livers instead of a combination of, you know, Stewart and Noel or Stewart and Duren. But I think the ability that Livers has to talk, to move, to switch, and then on the other side of the court to shoot and to cut, I think the gravity that he'll end up bringing to the court is it matters. And to me, when you have downhill drivers that are going to command double teams, that are going to command the attention of weak side, help side defenders in Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey, you're going to need guys that are sitting in the corners, sitting on the wings, waiting to catch and shoot. And you have that in Sadiq Bey. Maybe you have that in Isaiah Stewart, although he's going to be used as a screener and, you know, a drop down guy. But you need another shooter out there in theory alongside Sadiq Bey. And Isaiah Livers, he fits the bill. He shot the ball well in college at Michigan. He shot it well last season in his limited time with Detroit. And we're seeing him shoot it well again in summer league. Like, that's not an area of his game that anyone has to question. Everybody knows that Isaiah Livers, one of his greatest strengths is his ability to shoot the basketball. And I think that's very, very important to have on the court for a team that last year saw what happened when they weren't hitting outside shots. It led to them losing ball games. They were bottom of the league, 29th in field goal, 3-point shooting percentage, true shooting percentage, all those major shooting statistics. They need more players that can come out and shoot the basketball. That's why, in a similar sense, if the Pistons decided to go even smaller and start Alec Burks and Sadiq Bey at the 3 and 4 to get more shooting out there, I would probably favor that than starting the season with Stewart at the 4 and Noel at the 5, just because you want to try Isaiah Stewart at the 4. Having more shooting on the court makes more sense. It's just the way today's NBA goes. And I know, you know, you could try to step outside of the box, be unconventional, go big. I don't, you know, hate the idea of trying Stewart at the 4. I just don't think the Pistons have the right pieces around that, at least right now. You know, if Ivy were a 38% three-point shooter, if Cade Cunningham was a 37, 38% three-point shooter, it'd be a little bit different. But right now, the roster makeup doesn't support starting Stewart and Dern or Stewart and Noel at the 4 or 5. So I think it just makes most sense for someone like Isaiah Livers to be in the starting lineup. I think, you know, just going back to it, the shooting and the cutting on one end, the switchability and the communication on the other end, it really matters. And I think that'll give Detroit its most versatile and efficient look on both sides of the court, at least at the beginning of the year.
Aaron, I'm going to go as far as to say this. I am going to be disappointed if I see anybody other than Isaiah Livers or Isaiah Stewart at the power forward position to start this year. And I'm going to say exactly why. For the same, and I'm glad you brought up, oh, well, they could go even smaller and start Sadiq Bey and Alec Burks together. And I'm going to tell you why that's not a good idea. Because it's all about maximizing not just the lineups, but maximizing individual players within those lineups. And you look at a starting lineup of Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, Alec Burks, Sadiq Bey, and insert center here. That doesn't work for me because it doesn't maximize Burks or Sadiq Bey. Those are guys that need the ball in their hands. But so do Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey. So I look at it, if you're starting your team off with that, you have four players in your starting lineup that are going to need to handle the ball. Sadiq Bey to a lesser extent, but Burks needs to have the ball in his hands in order to be totally effective. That's why you bring him in. So for me, that's not an effective starting lineup because you have no firepower in your bench unit and you have too many mouths to feed in your starting lineup. So for me, anybody other than Isaiah Livers or Isaiah Stewart, players that are primarily better at receiving the ball as a last resort or as an open shooter, that to me is far more important because then all you need to do is have a finisher at the center position and then you have a shooter at the 4. Ostensibly, we're saying Isaiah Stewart can shoot in this sense. You don't give up anything defensively and you also have a ball handler coming off the bench in Alec Burks that can help buoy that lineup's offensive numbers. So for me, I don't even think it's actually really even a question. It's got to be one of those two guys.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement there. really all the way through. I think one of the other guys that I'm sure we'll talk about as, you know, we continue to go throughout this offseason is Marvin Bagley. I know there's been a lot of discussion about potentially starting him alongside Isaiah Stewart. We're not going to get into that today just because of the timing. And I still want to talk about Isaiah Stewart, 5 of 9 from the three-point line in summer league. We saw the three-point shooting come back to his game right at the end of last season. And I think if he becomes a legitimate threat from behind the arc, this is a guy that really raises his ceiling, whether he's playing the four or the five. You know, you look at him, and even with his ability to move his feet at 6'8 and being a center, you know, he was always going to be a little bit limited if all he was a drop-off option on the offensive side of the floor. And I think if he can hit outside shots, I think if he can hit 16 to 18 footers, that's going to really open up what the Pistons can do around him and not have to worry about him limiting their offense. I mean, heck, that's why we're seeing them talk about how he could potentially be a four and not just a five. And they're trying to build him out to be kind of like the Al Horford, who was a center for, you know, the majority of his career, or maybe half of it, because he's still playing and probably is going to continue to play for another 5 years with the way that he's playing in Boston. This is a guy that was a five, transitioned to the four, became a better floor spacer. And to be fair, Horford was a decent mid-range shooter, at least, even mm-hmm. in the early years of his career. Stewart really isn't that, or hasn't been that, but they're trying to build him out in that same sense, where he becomes more of a four offensively, but still somewhat of a five defensively, the way he can defend the rim, but also switch on to smaller guys in pick and rolls and in isolation. So Isaiah Stewart with the three-point shooting, we know what he can do rebounding the basketball. We know he moves his feet well for a bigger body, can handle, you know, defending guards. I mean, we saw it in summer league. He had a nice play against lottery pick Johnny Davis, where Davis got him out on an island on the left wing, tried to drive by him. Stewart stayed with him, altered the shot, and Davis didn't even hit the rim with it. So I think Stewart is a guy, and I know we've talked about him a little bit already, so we don't have to stick too long on him here, but what he's doing in summer league is, at least in my opinion, raising his ceiling as a four or five or a five. I'm not sure how high his ceiling is. I'm not sure if that means he'll ever be good enough to be a starter on a championship level team, but I think it's easier to see him fitting in with the Pistons moving forward.
I think my only question right now when it comes to Isaiah Stewart at the four is, does this detract from the strengths he's shown already? And what I mean by that is, look, where Isaiah Stewart has succeeded has been in rim protection, has been in rebounding, primarily offensive rebounding, and that ability to, when needed, switch onto the perimeter. If you play him at the four, I'm not saying that this is a lock. Don't get me wrong here. But you compared him to somebody like Al Horford. You're right, though. Al Horford was a different kind of player. He was never really like I'm smashing the boards, I'm banging bodies. He was always more of a finesse big man. And I worry with Isaiah Stewart that if you do bring him out more onto the perimeter, not just offensively, but defensively, if he's guarding fours on defense, because look, if he's the four, you're going to have a five. You said, yeah, you have him at the five defensively, but then you have to ask your five to defend the opposing team's four. I don't know how that necessarily works. I worry that if you take him away from the basket, you're going to take away from his offensive rebounding, which, yes, he's not a good putback guy, but it is a plus for this team. I also worry that it takes away from his rim protection. I know he can defend on the perimeter, but I think I'd rather have him inside disrupting shots near the rim. Not a great shot blocker, but he makes those shots harder, and players don't shoot as well around the rim when Isaiah Stewart is guarding them. Yes, I think it raises his offensive ceiling for sure, Aaron, but I think defensively it could be a little bit of an issue. And even offensively, it could be a little bit of an issue if you're taking his offensive rebounding away from this team. I see I've owned you with facts and logic. You have nothing to say to me.
I'm not in disagreement. I mean, I think there's a case either way. And I don't disagree that you'd be taking away what we know he already does well, but I also see with, especially with Jalen Duren in the fold now, why the Pistons feel that that's kind of the way they need to build out Isaiah Stewart. I think if they don't, they might feel like they're going to waste him and he's going to limit his potential. And even if they then want to move him, he's not going to have the value that he might've once had. I think drafting Jalen Duren, who looks, you know, like this is a guy that could down the line be the five, especially with the way that Troy Weaver has valued him. I mean, heck, we saw reports that he was considered at five with Detroit's first pick in the draft. So I just think Stewart's going to have to, I guess, in a way, find that same balance that we talked about with Duren at the beginning of the show. Like, he's going to have to find the balance between maximizing himself as a four, but still being able to play the five. And maybe it's a situation where he's playing minutes at both spots. I mean, I don't think that's unrealistic either. So I think that's where I want to end it on the summer league stuff. I mean, my gosh, we could have probably done who knows how much more on summer league, but
we could have talked about Jaden Ivey in the 5 minutes that he played. Honestly, he was spectacular.
He was phenomenal. But I feel like with the time that we have left, we should talk about this roster as a whole. And I think it's a good discussion to go into now that we've talked about some of these guys that have complicated the roster in a sense. Going through the rest of the roster buildup, the Pistons roster does stand at 15 standard and their two-way contract. So they're at their 17 allotted players. I'm not going to go over the entire roster. I mean, you should know the basic makeup of the group by now. If you've been listening to the show and you're aware of what the Pistons have done this offseason, but the way I look at it is, and I've already stated this multiple times, I don't think this is a team that has enough talent at the forward spot. I think Sadiq Bey, obviously, you're starting three going into the season, but I'm not super comfortable with the idea of starting Marvin Bagley, which has been talked about. And I don't love, even if the Pistons do start Isaiah Livers at the four, I don't love the depth behind those guys with Bagley and then especially Kevin Knox, who was one of Detroit's free agent signings this year, and then Hamidou Diallo. So that's my biggest concern on the roster. I think the guard spot looks decent to me. Obviously, Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey, you're penciling in as your starting point guard and shooting guard. And then you have a combo guard in Alec Burks. You're bringing back Corey Joseph. You have Killian Hayes, who the hope is that he can come in and be that strong backup guard, backup point guard to lead the second unit. And then you still have Saben Lee for now on the roster. That's the area of the depth chart that I'm not as concerned about. I think there's maybe some need for shooting back there, but the addition of Burks did solidify that a bit. And then the center spot looks okay to me. I think it all depends on how Detroit ends up running out their roster. Like, is Isaiah Stewart going to be a four? Where does Isaiah Livers fit in? But I think the forward spot for me is the weakest area on the roster. It gives me the most concern. You lose someone like Sadiq Bey, or you lose someone like Isaiah Livers for an extended period of time, and that puts Detroit in a real bad predicament. What do you think about this roster so far? Now that it does look to be set at 15 with free agency kind of in a dead period right now.
You know, it's funny, Aaron, because we've agonized over the starting lineup. We've agonized about the lack of depth. But weirdly enough, I feel very comfortable with how the Pistons backup could operate this year. I look at something like, if you can stagger those Jaden Ivey minutes to where he's playing alongside Killian Hayes in the backcourt with backups, and then you have Alec Burks, Hamidou Diallo, and Marvin Bagley out there, I think that there's actually a real capability for that to be an extremely exciting and explosive backup unit. Because Hamidou Diallo and Jaden Ivey are explosive in transition. And I think Diallo's ability to force turnovers, yes, while he does have other defensive deficiencies, could absolutely put you in a position to where you can run the floor up and down and tire out other teams' backup units. you also then have somebody like Alec Burks who can slow things down if necessary, who can run the offense for himself, and you have somebody like Killian Hayes who can take a little bit of that pressure off of Ivy from a playmaking perspective and also get put into a better position as a spot-up shooter. For me, I actually, weirdly enough, while I am very, very confused about what the Pistons' plans for the starting lineup are, I feel kind of great about their backup situation at the moment. If you can call on like a Kelly Olynyk or a Marvin Bagley or a Nerlens Noel in that second unit, I think that's really good. And if Dwayne Casey does a solid job of staggering the minutes in order to give Killian Hayes, Cade Cunningham, and Jaden Ivey all a shot at shining from a playmaking perspective, from a lead guard perspective, I think that you could actually have very little of a drop off. Maybe not from necessarily of like a we're winning this basketball game perspective, but in terms of a watchability perspective from your first unit to your second unit. I think there's a good chance that the second unit, like it has in years past, could be one of the highest scoring second units in the league and could be one of the more effective second units in the league. I don't know if you feel the same way, considering the lack of depth on this roster, as we've said, but I do think it could be really, really fun.
I think there's some intrigue there, but and I also could see Detroit using a three-guard lineup, at least in the backup rotation. You know, I am of the mindset that, like, I'd like to always have a starter or two on the court, but Dwayne Casey, if he stays true to what his coaching philosophy is, will use an all-bench unit. I think you're going to see three-guard lineups. I think you're going to see Hayes, Joseph, and Burks on the court together at times. And I think you're probably going to have to do that because I don't think there's a ton of depth at the forward spot to where they're always going to be able to get away with playing Kevin Knox or Hamidou Diallo. You know, I think Diallo, for the explosiveness that he brings, his lack of floor spacing is detrimental. He's a disaster defensively. And Kevin Knox, I mean, we talked about him last week. He's more of a theoretical shooter than he is a realistic shooter, and I'm not sure why else he would have a contract right now outside of being able to being a floor spacer, and he's really not that. So I don't think he's a guy that's going to play all a ton. So I think you're going to end up seeing three guard lineups a fair amount, you know, and that means, you know, with those guys, you get to pick from Marvin Bagley, Kelly Olynyk, Nerlens Noel, and maybe the Pistons are comfortable using, you know, Olynyk and Bagley at the four spot and having Durin and Noel primarily be the backup fives and then roll with the three guards. Like, maybe that is their plan. I can't see a world where Corey Joseph isn't in Dwayne Casey's rotation. And obviously Alec Burks is going to be in it. And I doubt that they'll take Killian Hayes completely out of the rotation after he's already losing the starting guard spot that he started with last year. I still think, you know, even if Detroit's concerned about him, even if they're not fully bought into Killian Hayes, I still think, you know, don't think that means that they're going to completely eliminate him from the rotation. So maybe Detroit's fine going a little bit smaller, and maybe that will be okay if, you know, that five-man group is playing primarily against backups. I don't think that's a group that you're going to be able to get away with playing heavy minutes against starting caliber players, especially starting caliber threes and fours. You get in, you know, to that upper tier of wings, those starter level wings, going that small with that little defensive ability between the 2-4 and Joseph, Burks, and Bagley or Olynyk. Like, I think that's going to eat you up. But maybe if the Pistons are seeing a bunch of five-man you know, second units, it'll work out okay. And maybe that's the plan. Maybe they're not necessarily concerned with having a ton of forward depth right now, but I think it gets a lot more complicated if someone like Livers, who has had some injury issues in the past, to be fair, misses some time, because I just don't necessarily trust the depth behind him from the forward spot on the depth chart.
Aaron, I look at this roster right now and I see 12 guys that, like, have to get playing time as soon as the season starts. Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, Killian Hayes, Alec Burks, Corey Joseph, Sadiq Bey, Marvin Bagley, Isaiah Livers, Like Isaiah Stewart, Nerlens Noel, Jalen Duren, and Kelly Olynyk. Those guys, you can even take Duren out of there. That's 12 still. Those are 12 guys that you have to find playing time for them, at least at the beginning of the season. So I think Dwayne Casey has quite a task on his hands. I would not be surprised to see this season start kind of the way it did last year, where the Pistons are frankly just kind of a freaking mess because the rotations are not clear. The best lineups are not clear. Who should be getting like X amount of playing time is not clear. There's a lot of guys on this roster that you can look at and be like, well, he should get like 20 plus minutes of playing time. There's like 12 guys on this roster that should be getting 12 plus minutes, 20 plus minutes of playing time every night. You can't make that work. So they're going to have a big task ahead of them to start this season. I would not be surprised to see them struggle. I would not be surprised to see Dwayne Casey throw out some really weird lineups that we all hate, but it's kind of a necessary evil for this season. They got to figure out who's on this team moving forward and who's not. And after they do that, then they can solidify the rotation. And after they solidify the rotation, then they can go into next offseason knowing exactly what pieces they need to put in there in order to take the next step into being a playoff team.
Yeah, I don't think that's wrong. I think this is a team that, because they have that many guys that at least have a case for minutes, are going to come out at the beginning of the year and maybe play 12 guys a game, or maybe different guys are given an opportunity, each couple games into the year. You know, maybe Duren doesn't get minutes game one and Diallo doesn't get minutes game one, but maybe game two, they get the opportunity to play over Olynyk or Noel or, you know, someone like that. Maybe that's how the Pistons try to manage it, try to find that sweet spot. But I think you're right. This is setting up for this, the regular season, the beginning of the year, to start off a little dicey between not really knowing what the rotation looks like. And, you know, that's what happens when you bring in some different pieces. I mean, Alec Burks, Jaden Ivey, Nerlens Noel, Duren, the rise of Isaiah Livers into needing minutes in the rotation, you know, full time. That makes it a lot more complicated to plan out your rotation. So I think that you're right. I think it does set up for a little bit more of a chaotic start to the year with different guys playing potentially on different nights. Maybe the Pistons are going past a 10-man rotation on certain nights. Maybe they're going 11, 12 deep. That remains to be seen. But I think you make a good point with just how many guys the Pistons have that, at least as of now, have a legitimate claim to minutes.
And that's not even talking with people whose roles are going to change. Like, Jaden Ivey is going to take a huge amount of the usage on this team. He's got to have at least a 20% usage rating as a rookie. But not just that, you're also talking about somebody like Killian Hayes, who you're expecting to take on more of a scoring role. And you're talking about somebody like Sadiq Bey, who you're expecting to, sort of like last year, take on a little bit more of a creation role for others. So it's not just that there's all these players that need playing time. There's also figuring out how the players that you already know have set playing time are going to change their roles and how they're going to grow as players and how that's going to affect the rest of the lineup and their playing style as well. So yeah, Aaron, I mean, there's just so many freaking questions about this roster. There's so many questions about playing time. I don't think we're any closer to them. And frankly, I think we might be a couple weeks into the regular season and still not really have any answers. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, no, it's not a fun situation to be in if you're Dwayne Casey, because you're going to have to try to find the most efficient and effective rotations and minutes for players while managing egos and expectations as well. So that comes, you know, in preseason in the first couple of weeks of the regular season or months away from that, but it really will be here before you know it. Pistons with a couple summer league games left before the summer league ends for them. They'll play on Thursday.
I think that's the last one, right?
Oh, they'll play the fourth game on Thursday, and then they get a fifth game, which is to be determined by seeding. But I think obviously they're going to be out of the ability to play for the championship now that they lost on Tuesday. So they're supposed to play five games. That fifth game just hasn't been officially scheduled yet with an opponent.
Got it. Ugh. Yet another year without a summer league title, Aaron. When will it happen for us Pistons fans?
Burns me to the core.
I know.
But we went an hour, just about. We're probably right under an hour in terms of our recording time here. Got into some good stuff. I always enjoy talking about roster construction. I think it's just a fun topic. You get to kind of give into your philosophy of team building and rotation managing. So I thought that was fun. We're going to have more discussions like this, I'm sure, throughout the remainder of the off season. But Jasper, unless we have anything else, I think we should wrap this one up.
I think that's it for me, Aaron. This was a pleasure as always. It's always nice hearing what you have to say about your team building philosophy as well. So I always appreciate it.
It's a good discussion for sure. Well, guys, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Palace of Pistons podcast. Thanks so much to Believe and our sponsor, Bet Online, for helping make this week's show possible. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure to check out our website, palaceofpistons.com, for our written content. Check out our socials, primarily Twitter, at Palace of Pistons. You can follow us along there. That's going to do it for this week's show, guys. Thanks so much for watching, and we'll see you next week here on the Palace of Pistons podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.